Wallet, watch, keys, phone, badge, gun. Two steps from his front door, Tony pauses to pat himself down and check that he's fully loaded and ready to go. He's having that kind of frustrating, forehead-smacking morning that has already seen him wake up half an hour late, put his cell phone in the bathroom cabinet instead of the toothpaste, and put on mismatched suit pants and jacket. This is the third time he's checked that he has all necessary cargo to face the day, but given that he discovered his belt was still open on his first check, he thinks the third and perhaps a fourth check is warranted. His stomach grumbles as his hand rests over the bulge of his badge in his jacket, and he casts a longing look at his refrigerator. He'd love to pause for breakfast, but he's already running late, and he has to rely on the metro to get him to work after leaving his car at the yard last night. The team had wrapped a case the day before, and had celebrated with what was only supposed to be one or two drinks at their favorite bar near the Navy Yard. Honestly, he'd only intended to have two drinks spread over a few hours to make sure he could still legally drive himself home. But two drinks in an hour turned into five drinks in 2 hours, then eight in three. And by the time the huge plate of nachos arrived at the table, he had felt decidedly inebriated. He hadn't been close to fall down drunk, but when the team had split up to go their separate ways for the night, he had erred on the side of caution and gotten a taxi. He thinks his inability to function on a normal level this morning might have something to do with the previous night's activities, but at least he's not hungover. He doesn't know how he managed to avoid that, but doesn't have the time to go through his evening step by step to try and work out what he did differently, because right now he's realized that he doesn't have his backup gun, and he has to run back to his bedroom for it to get it pronto if he's going to make it to work before Gibbs feels the urge to make his day hell. Back in his bedroom, he unlocks his desk and pulls out the second drawer. He grabs his backup, slams the drawer, locks up his desk again, then lifts his foot to his chair as he straps it on. When he stands again, he does yet another inventory, but this time, he does it aloud. Wallet, watch, keys, phone, badge, gun, and backup, he recites. And this time, he finds everything in its place. He checks one last time that his pants are done up, then races for the front door. And backpack, he says finally, and grabs his bag from the floor beside the door to complete his armor. He steps out the door 20 minutes late, and then speed walks to the elevator. The car takes forever to arrive, and he's considering either taking the stairs or kicking the doors when they suddenly spring open. He steps in and hits the button for the ground floor 4 times before the doors shutter their way closed. The car creaks and groans its way down, and he reminds himself, as he does every morning when he steps inside the death trap in waiting elevator, that he should really, really look at moving soon. As the car reaches the ground floor, Tony braces himself for the familiar final jolt as the elevator lines itself up with the floor. More than once, and not even exclusively when he's been drunk, he has lost his footing from that jolt and stumbled. But not this morning. It has been his one saving grace so far. He shares a quick greeting with the old woman who lives on the floor below his, who he sees just about every morning, and then dashes across the foyer and out the door. Then, he almost trips on the person sitting on the front steps of his apartment block. His irritation soars as he prepares to deliver them a curt lecture about sitting in public thoroughfares. But then, the person lifts her head to look up at him, and he realizes it's Ziva. The lecture dies on his tongue, and his frown turns into an expression of surprise. Hey! Ziva folds the paper she's been reading and pushes her sunglasses up on her head as she gives him a small smile. Good morning. What are you doing here? You left your car at work, she says. I thought you would need a ride in. He appreciates the gesture, and the sight of her is enough to turn his mood again and put a smile on his face. Why didn't you come up? She stands and brushes stray dirt from the apartment block steps off her butt. I did not wish to interfere with your morning routine. She can't know what he's been going through this morning, but nevertheless, he thinks she's right. Having her sit at his kitchen table while he ran around would have been an unneeded distraction. Ziva bends over to pick up the 2 cups of coffee and a white paper bag from the steps. He's interested in what could be in the bag, but more interested in her butt, which he stares at for a grand total of 2 seconds before she straightens again and holds the bag and one of the coffees out to him. Here. His eyes widen at the bounty. If you got me breakfast, I'm going to ask you to marry me. She snorts dismissively at the joke, removing his sudden urge to smack himself upside the head. I am not in the mood for planning another wedding at this time. He sends her a knowing look. Ziva's frank account of Olivia's rapidly deteriorating sanity has not been kind. And then he peeks inside the paper bag. It looks like she brought him a bear claw, and Jesus, he might just ask her to marry him after all. But not yet. He takes a healthy slug of coffee and closes his eyes as he waits for the coffee-induced endorphins to kick in. God, that's some good coffee. I am glad you are enjoying it, Ziva replies, and although his eyes are still closed, he can tell from her tone that she wants to laugh at him. He doesn't care. She brought him coffee and a bear claw and has earned herself a chuckle. He opens his eyes and flashes her a smile. I'm beginning to feel normal again. Ziva licks coffee from her lips and in the process sparks the most pleasing thoughts he's had all morning. Normal? She repeats. I am not sure I have ever had the pleasure of meeting you in such a state. The smile he throws at her is more related to his thoughts than her dig at him. We should go. Yes. They've only taken two steps towards the sidewalk before he stops and puts his hand on her arm. Ziva looks up at him quizzically, and he shoots her a sheepish wince because he knows how stupid this is going to sound. Am I wearing all my clothes? She meets his gaze impassively for a moment before dropping her eyes to look him over. Yes, she says slowly, as if she is wondering if he is making a joke that she doesn't get. He breathes out with relief and nudges her arm before they head for her car again. I've had a bad morning, he tells her. Yes, she agrees, but you now have hot coffee and a bear claw, so things are looking up. Well, if the hot woman who brings him breakfast and drives him to work insists on being optimistic, he supposes he has no choice but to agree.